Well, good evening, everyone. Really great to see you here tonight. And if you're watching online, a big welcome to you as well. And as we come together tonight, should we pray before we start? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can meet together. We thank you for the open church. We thank you, Lord, for an open Bible and for this opportunity that we have to worship you tonight. And so, Father, we pray that you'll put us in the right frame of mind and the right heart. We pray, Lord, that you'll take away any distractions from our mind, maybe worries about last week or this week coming and the things that might distract us and take our thoughts away from you. And we pray that we'll be an encouragement to each other as we worship together tonight. So, Lord, come and bless us with your spirit. Move among us, we pray. Teach us from your word. And we ask, Lord, that you will fill our hearts with the true spirit of worship as we come together tonight. So, make one in our midst now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight Mark is going to be speaking on the topic of make a joyful noise. And so, that's what we're going to do by singing our first song tonight. And it's a current favourite of mine, and I think it is of others as well. So we're going to stand and sing when the music starts. O Most High, King of the Ages, let's stand and sing. I've just got one notice for you tonight, and that's on Thursday evening there's a praise and prayer meeting, which feels very apt for the subject tonight as well. So I really encourage you to come along Thursday evening, 7:30 if you can, for prayer and praise. So yeah, please make the time in your diary if you can. We're going to read now the passage that Mark's going to base the sermon on. And so if you would turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 98. And if you've got a church Bible, that's page 500. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth has seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sounds of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. It really makes you want to worship together, doesn't it? We've got three songs to finish the service with tonight, which will be a really nice time of praise. So we look forward to Mark opening up that word to us shortly. But before that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are worth making noise for. Lord, you deserve all the praise that we can give. Even if we spent every remaining minute of our life in praise to you, it still wouldn't be enough when we consider that all that you have done for your people, when we realize that we are beneficiaries of your saving grace. Lord, we will never be able to repay with all the praise that we could ever offer you. But we thank you that we can look forward to with great certainty and hope to an eternity of singing your praises and how worthy you are of them all. And Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to worship together. And we pray that our hearts will really be overflowing with love to you when we consider just who you are the way that you've reached out and saved lost people like us. And we thank you, Lord, that even if we are not part of your family tonight, that Lord, that you are still saving people. You are still drawing people by your grace. And Lord, we pray that you will move our hearts tonight in great love to you, even if that's for the first time. Lord, we pray that you will look upon us in mercy. Lord, you will see where we are in our spiritual life and that you will come close to us. And Lord, we pray that we might find that irresistible grace that only comes from you. So Lord, we thank you for this day of rest that we've had today. We thank you for the preaching of your word that we had this morning and the rest that's promised for an eternity. Lord, we thank you for the word that Joe brought to us, and I pray that it will have done us good and that, Lord, it will give us that energy and that encouragement to go into this week. And even though, Lord, we have to work hard and to make our living, Lord, we thank you that that's not just where it all ends, but that all of this is just a part of the journey as we head home to heaven above. And Lord, we thank you that we have these reminders and these pointers to help keep our eyes up to you. Lord, we confess the times when we get so lost in detail and we behave like the task in hand is all dependent on us and us making it succeed. And Lord, we fail to trust you. We neglect the power of prayer. And Lord, we confess that before you now, and we pray that you will help us to learn from that, that you will teach us your ways, and that you will teach us to rest upon you more. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is rich and it's free, and that, Lord, we do but need to confess you as our Saviour. And Lord, that we can be a recipient of your grace just feels so overwhelming when we know a little of our own heart. And Lord, we pray that whatever's coming up this week for us, that Lord, we'll be encouraged knowing that that you have all things in hand, that you are the sovereign Lord. As some of us in Rooted looked this morning, you are the sovereign Lord. You know all things, and Lord, you have it all planned. Everything is at your control. You are the high and mighty one. And Lord, to think that we can call you our Father is just such a wonderful thing. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with us through this week and whatever it is that we've got going on, whether it's something that we are nervous about, Lord, whether it's something that, whether we've got exciting things, whatever this week has in store for us, help us to take one day at a time, one step at a time, and to count each day as the blessing that it is, and to enjoy living for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we aren't without hope, and that, Lord, you encourage your people. And so, Lord, we commit everyone into your hand that's here tonight, everyone that's watching online, all those that we love and hold dear. And Lord, whatever the circumstances that we find ourselves at the moment, we thank you that your word is always suitable, that, Lord, your promises are unchanging and you are faithful, and that, Lord, you will not necessarily take our trials and difficulties away, but, Lord, you've promised to give us the strength that we need to get through and to be brought through to the other side. So, Father, we pray then that you will bless us tonight as we worship you. We pray, Lord, that our hearts will just be so full for you, because, Lord, you really do deserve it. And, Lord, help Mark as he speaks to us. We thank you for his faithful preaching to us, his determination to only speak the truth from your word. And, Lord, we pray for him tonight that you will speak to us through him. We pray that your spirit will be working and softening our hearts and stirring us up. And we pray for John and Esther, who are away on their holidays and soon due back, that, Lord, you will have given them a relaxing time. And as they come back to the busyness of church life, we pray that they will be eased in and that they will be feeling the benefit from a time away. And Lord, as we go into this period of summer, it brings things with it. And Lord, at the moment, I pray for the young people who have got exams and getting back into it this week, and some of them with a very full schedule. And so, Lord, we commit them into your hands and pray for your blessing on them. We ask, Lord, that you will help them in the exam halls to do their very best. We pray that they might be able to remember the things that they want to write down. We pray that they won't be too distracted, and as they do their studies in between and their revision, please help them to focus. Give them good rest, Lord, in their at night, and please help them in those exam halls. But we thank you, Lord, that whatever the outcome is, that you've got a plan for each one of them, and pray that they'll be encouraged by that, and they'll be able to look back to these stressful times and see your goodness in their life. And Lord, we've also got activities coming up with holidays, YP holiday and camp, and not that many weeks away, really. And so we pray, Lord, that you will help all those involved as they start to get things together, that things will go together smoothly, and that there will be times of really great blessing. So, Lord, we commit everything into your hands. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, that our salvation is not dependent on anything that we've done, said, or thought. But Lord, it's all about you, and we give you our worship tonight. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again before Mark comes to preach, and we're going to sing Creation Sings the Father's Song. So let's sing loud and from our hearts as we sing together now.
Thank you. good evening once again to all of you. And we're looking at Psalm 98 this evening. Well, it's not always the most relaxing standing up the front here and preaching to you all. But one of the privileges that you do get is that when people are singing, you get the full volume of it because it's all directed to you. And actually, if you sit in the front rows, especially in the morning when it's packed and everyone knows the song or the hymn, it's much louder than if you're sat at the back or in the gallery because you've got all those voices sort of aiming towards you. And I just want to encourage you, if you never sit near the front, give it a go for your own blessing. I'm not just trying to fill up the spaces near the front, but for your own blessing and encouragement, sit near the front. I don't know how you feel about singing. Maybe some of you immediately feel very self-conscious at the thought of singing, because you know it's not your greatest natural gift. Maybe some of you wish that sometimes I was a bit more self-conscious with my singing when I was standing right behind you. Do apologise for that. But do you know that the Bible has over 400 references to singing, and there's more than 50 direct commands to sing. It's a big theme in the Bible. If we're God's people, we're called to sing. As long as we have the ability to make the noise with our throats or our mouths, we're called to be singers. And God's not concerned about whether we can hold a note or whether some of our notes go a bit flat. He commands all of us to sing. And singing's a really important part of our church service. I don't know whether you realise that as you join our services. It's not just an opportunity to sort of stand up and stretch our legs a little bit, although that is an added benefit sometimes. But it's a really important part of our service. And sometimes we can see it as an opportunity to sort of go to the toilet or grab a drink. And of course, there are times when that's absolutely needed. I've had to do it sometimes, and it makes sense to do it sometimes during a song because, you know, maybe people are standing up, it's easier to get past, maybe it's less distracting for people. So it can make sense, and I certainly don't want to make anyone feel awkward about it if you do go out, especially in the next song. Please don't feel awkward if you have to. But the danger is that maybe without realising it, we can sort of start feeling like the hymns and the songs are almost a bit like a TV advert break if we're watching a show. And those are the times when we can go and do other things and it is not a problem. Maybe even if we stay in the room, even if we're singing, sometimes it can almost feel like a bit of a mental switch off before we then have to focus again. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. But I hope that as we look at this song tonight in Psalm 98, and as we think about singing and the fact that it calls us all to sing, I hope it will sort of refresh us and boost us in our vision of what singing is, and that it will help us to actively praise and to worship God. Well, as you go through this psalm, I'm kind of giving you my headings already. As you go through this psalm, you start by looking at the past and you see God the Saviour. And then as you go through it, you kind of get to the present and you see God as King. And then as you get to the last few verses, you see the future and you see God as the Judge. And also as you go through the psalm, the circle of those who are called to worship grows and grows until it fills the whole earth and everything in it. So let's have a look firstly at verses 1 to 3. And we'll see the past, and we'll see God the Saviour. God the Saviour, verses 1 to 3. This is verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The psalmist is telling the people of God to sing a new song, to sing a song of praise, because God has rescued them. God has saved them. God has done marvellous things. Now, I don't know what you think when you hear the word marvellous. For me, my immediate thought was of the late Queen. And when she saw something like a nicely decorated cake, and she'd say, oh, isn't that marvellous? Or sometimes I use the phrase, and I don't use it how it's meant to be used. And maybe we're, you know, about to start a lesson, for example, and everyone's gathered together and finally everyone's quiet. And I say, marvellous, should we get going? But if we have that sort of idea of marvellous, that it's just something a little bit nice, then we fundamentally miss what is going on in this psalm. If something is truly marvellous, then it should be something that makes us marvel at it. It should be something that leaves us astonished. It should be something that fills us with a sense of wonder. There's not many things that truly do that for us, are there? But God has been doing some genuinely awe-inspiring miracles that are truly marvelous. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two kind of great saving acts of God. And the first one is when God's people, the Israelites, are in captivity in Egypt. And what does God do? What does he do to the Egyptians? Well, there's the plagues, and then what does God do? He rescues his people. He brings them through the Red Sea. He takes them eventually to the Promised Land. And that is the great Exodus. It is the great saving act of God. And how is it accomplished? Well, we find out in Deuteronomy 4, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. This is how God works. He stretches out his mighty hand and his arm to save them. And the Old Testament is filled with God rescuing his people. But the second kind of great act of saving is when God brings them out of exile from Babylon. When they've been in captivity in Babylon. And the method of them sort of coming home isn't quite as dramatic. There's no kind of Red Sea on the way home. But what do we find as we read about this rescue? That it was done by the arm of the Lord. You see, we're meant to see that this is again a sort of second exodus. A second great exodus of God's people being brought home from captivity. Once again, God's rescuing them from captivity, taking them out of the hands of oppressors and bringing them safely home. And this is worth singing about. This is worth singing about. After the first Exodus, what did Moses do? He wrote a new song. He wrote a song about the Exodus. But now new songs are needed. Because God has rescued his people again. There's more to praise God for as you go through the Old Testament, as you go through the exile and bringing them back. And as the Jews look back over all that God had done, they knew that God was worthy of praise. They knew they had to sing. And I wonder how one of those Jews would feel if they were sat here this evening. And they were able to think about the greatest exodus of all. The one that for them was still in a few hundred years in the future. But for us is a couple of thousand years in the past. The one where God came to free us from captivity, to sin and death and bondage, the Bible says. The curse. He came to break our chains. He came to set us free. He came, the Bible says, to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his only Son. Once again, it describes God as using his right arm, his powerful right hand, his holy arm, to save us. But this time he does it by becoming one of us, by becoming human. This time his mighty hand is displayed in great weakness as he comes to take our place in the captivity, as he takes his place under the death penalty, as he's there on the cross. And it's only as Jesus dies and is then risen again that we see his full power displayed as he breaks the chains of sin and death. And he fatally wounds the curse that ensnares the whole world. You know, the reason that the people wanted to sing after the captivities that they're in is because it was so horrible there. It was horrendous in Egypt. It was horrendous in Babylon. And so when they're free, they want to sing. We're free again. And maybe the reason that we're not stirred up more to sing is that we don't realize the sort of the horribleness, as it were, of our situation without God, of what it's like to be captive to the curse and chained and have death reign over us. What we need is more and more for God to open up our eyes to see the horror of these things. And when we realize the seriousness of it, when we realize the horror of it, and then when we realize that it is God and God alone who saves, that is when we are stirred up more and more to pray and to realize that the right response is praise to God. And many new songs have been written now, haven't they, about the greatest exodus of all. But no, just have a think about some of the songs that have been written about the greatest exodus of all. There's so many, but these are just a few, in some ways, quite random ones that came to my mind. One of them that is just filled with joy is Reconciled, I'm Reconciled. So it's that joyful tune of just, this is what God's done for me. How deep the Father's love for us, just written in response to what God has done. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's a song of joy, isn't it? Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. See, these new songs have been written in response to the even greater saving act of God. And there's so many more. And new songs are good things. You know, we don't just want new songs for novelty's sake. But sometimes they can help us just to have sort of fresh expressions of praise to God. We do need to be careful, don't we, with new music, new Christian music. There's an awful lot of it that is very much kind of centered on us. You know, if you look at it carefully, you realize that it's more about us than about God. There's some of it that's just incredibly repetitive. And some repetition can be really helpful, actually, but some of it's too much. Some of it's kind of what we might call theology light. There's no real substance to it. Sometimes, if we're honest, it just feels more like a pop song or entertainment than actual worship to God. It's more of a feel-good factor for us than worship. And I do just want to say, actually, just to those who are younger, and maybe those who are a bit older but maybe young in the faith, apps like Spotify are great, aren't they? And they, you know, you can have these sort of Christian playlists and they'll just play loads of Christian songs. And there's a lot of good in that. But I just want to encourage you to think about the fact that not all of those Christian worship songs are good. Obviously, we know not all music's good. You know, that's obvious. But there's even a lot of worship songs and a lot of Christian songs that are just not helpful or not teaching good theology. And I just want to encourage you that as you listen to songs, just because it says it's Christian or just because it's got the word worship it in the title, keep your brain switched on when you're listening to these songs. And just be thinking about, is this worshipping God? Is God kind of the center of it? Is this accurate? Think, is this accurate according to what I've been taught in maybe Rooted or in YP Bible studies or in the sermons? Does it describe God accurately and the amazing things that he's done? I just want you to really encourage you to think about new songs. New songs are great, but just think about them carefully as you get to know them and enjoy listening to them. So those are some things just to be careful with, but there should be a thankfulness for new songs. Fresh expressions of God's praise, things to get us thinking and celebrating it with different words that maybe we haven't thought about before, different themes even. I was just thinking, one of the examples of it, a new song that I love is His Robes for Mine by Hymns of Grace. Interestingly, it's got the word marvel in it. So just listen to this. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Brought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. That's good, isn't it? It's a new song. It helps us just to praise God in a fresh way. So that's verse one. And I wanted to spend a decent amount of time on verse one because it just really sets us up for the rest of the psalm. But I just want to encourage you that we won't take quite as long on all the rest of the verses. Well, let me read verses 2 and 3. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. You see, salvation was never meant to be a secret. It was never meant to be this kind of quiet thing. Remember all the way back with that promise, that covenant with Abraham that God made. What did he say? That through Abraham's descendants, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And as we were thinking about this morning with Joe Percy, who was here, what was he saying about when God makes a promise or a covenant, it's gold-plated. We can be sure that he will do what he says, that he will keep his promises. And so what happens? Many years later, Jesus comes along. And what does John the Baptist say about him? Well, he's quoting Isaiah, but he says, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You see, this is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the righteousness of God that is being revealed. And he's come to save his people. And this message has spread to the ends of the earth. You know, there's barely a place on earth where people haven't heard about Jesus and heard about his death on the cross. It has spread to all nations. And so now, the whole world is called to worship him as king. And so we think now about the present, and we think God the king. Verses 4 to 6, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the king, the Lord. Well, I've described God here as the king because that's what it says in verse 6, make a joyful noise before the king. But did you notice what it calls God three times? The Lord. The Lord. We thought about Jesus as the Lord last week. If you were here, many of you were. Jesus is the Lord, the one who's been exalted over all, who reigns over all. He is the supreme master over all. And part of sharing the good news of Jesus with people is telling people that he has the right authority over our lives. That we should submit to his authority. That's what we are called to do. That is what is right for us to do, to repent of our sin and to submit to his authority. But as we thought right at the end of last week, you know, it's as we come under the authority of Jesus as Lord, that actually that's where we're designed to be. That's where we are most happy. In fact, that's where we can be, as this psalm calls it, jubilant. I'm just going to read verses 4 to 6, but this time in the NIV. Not because it's a better translation of these verses, but just because it's different. It just uses different words. Maybe it helps us get a sense of the joy here. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Derek Kidner, who's written a lot about the Psalms, he kind of sums this psalm up in just a few words. He says, all is joy and exhilaration. I like that. All is joy and exhilaration. These verses are a scene of just exuberance and celebration. And it's a coronation-like scene. This is the sort of scene that you would get when there was a king either becoming king or when a king was returning victorious from war. This is the sort of scene you get. I expect it was a bit like in Ezra 3, where it talks about the temple worship and the people shouting and the musical instruments, and it says that the noise could be heard from far away. I love that description. The noise could be heard from far away. But do notice as well that although it's very noisy, although people are shouting, it's not wild. The joyful noises and the shouts, they're done to the Lord. Do you notice that? It's directed to God. It is worship to God. It is God-honoring. And it is uncontainable. This isn't about working ourselves up in some sort of ecstasy. Instead, this is about letting the truths of what God has done so fill us up that it's as if this sense of joy and jubilation just kind of breaks forth, as how it describes it. It sort of bursts out of us. Now, in Venezuela in 2021, they broke the Guinness World Record for the largest orchestra. And they had 8,573 musicians. It's quite a big orchestra. Interestingly, the music that they played in that orchestra was Tchaikovsky's The Slavic March. And it's a piece of music that sort of predicts and celebrates the Russians and Serbians winning the war against the Ottoman Empire, their oppressors. It's why it has such a loud, joyful ending, because it's celebrating victory in war. But that's nothing compared to what is being commanded here. Here, the whole earth is being commanded to take up their musical instruments, as it were, and to celebrate the reign of Jesus, the Saviour, victorious King. The song that we're going to sing at the straight away after this, we've got three songs, as Luke said, but the first one is Rejoice, the Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. Mortals, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. I was quite struck by Ephesians 5 this week. Let me read a bit of it. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Now, I wonder what you'd expect it to say after that. It'd just been told to make the best use of time, because the days are evil. So what is going to be commanded? Well, there's a couple of things not to do. And then it says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, singing and making melody to God in your heart is a really good use of time. It's a really good use of time. Make a joyful noise. God is the reigning King. But then finally, we look to the future, verses 7 to 9. Sorry if that's a bit hard to read. And we see God the Judge. God the Judge. Well, I wonder how you feel as we think about God the Judge. Maybe you feel a sense of sort of a negativity about God being the Judge. It can sort of seem a very serious theme, a very somber theme. And of course, for those who are enemies of Jesus, it is something to be warned about. If we are not safe in Jesus, when Jesus comes as judge, that is something we need to think very seriously about. We need to be ready. We need to be safe in Jesus. But look at the tone of verses 7 to 9. Does this sound solemn to you? Does this sound negative? Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Jesus coming as judge is good news. He's coming as a judge that is fair and just and good. He is good. And as Joe Percy would put it this morning, he's coming to set the earth free from the toil of the curse. That is what Jesus is coming as the judge to do. To set the earth free from the toil of the curse. This morning, Joe was encouraging us to have that sort of pilgrim mentality. That mentality of yearning and longing for the new creation. Of that rest that we have ultimately in Jesus. But you know what else is yearning for the new creation? The current creation. That the world around us is yearning for Jesus to come and deal with the curse and make everything new again. The song we sang just before I came up to speak was Creation Sings, the Father's Song. And in verse 2, you have this sort of picture language of creation almost watching on as God sends his Son into the world, the second Adam, to deal with the curse. And then we have those two lines, creation longs for his return when Christ shall reign upon the earth. You've got creation itself just longing for Jesus to come. Many of you will know where I'm going next, Romans 8. This is where it talks about creation. Verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. See, Jesus is coming to set the world free from the curse. And you have the seas roaring in delight, and you have the rivers clapping their hands and the hills singing for joy at Jesus, the ruler, coming to bring justice to the world and set it free. I saw an article very recently about the post office scandal. Feels like a long time ago that was all in the news, doesn't it? But the headline was about the fact that the investigation could be delayed by a further 5 years unless millions of pounds of extra funding is secured. And a government spokesman said a delay would be unacceptable for those who have already been living with this for decades. And you kind of have that feeling of, come on, we just need justice. You know, we haven't even been suffering with them, and probably some of us are feeling, come on, we need justice. But that pales into insignificance compared to how long the world has been waiting to be set free. For the world to wait for the judge to come and to break the curse. You know, when Jesus comes as the judge, the good judge, even the world itself will be making a joyful noise to him. And so we've seen tonight, we've seen the God of the past who is the mighty Saviour, what he's done in the past. We see that he is the reigning King. And we see that he is coming as judge. That is the good news of Psalm 98. And that is worth making a joyful noise about. Amen. Well, we're going to sing three songs. The second two are a little bit shorter, but just an opportunity for us just to praise God in worship. I read one of the verses of Rejoice, the Lord is King. This is verse 5. Rejoice in glorious hope. Jesus the judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. We soon shall hear the archangel's voice. God's trumpet call shall sound. Rejoice. Let's stand and let's have a time of singing together.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you that you are the King of all kings and you are the judge of the world. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would stir us up to praise you more day by day. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to sing, but I pray as well that our lives would be like a song of worship to you. So Lord, do be with us as we go away from this place. Lord, do keep us safe. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.